As always, praise team, thank you very much for leading us in our worship and our praise music. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Again, now we come to the time where we do our best to turn aside all other things that may be between you and us. Father, we may concentrate and focus on your word and, Lord, what it means to us, what we can extract from it, the things that we find in it that will help us through these days. And Lord God, I just turn this over to you. Let me be removed from it, and let your Holy Spirit be spoken of and spoken through in all we do. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, that's going to be our text today, but we'll get to that in a minute. Mark 1, 40 through 45. Now, a couple of months ago, I shared an illustration talking about a young apprentice, and he was in a shop where his father had worked. But I want to talk about a different apprentice now. There was an apprentice to a blacksmith near a farming community. The older smith was bent on retiring, but he loved his community and he wanted to leave them in good hands. And the young man that was apprenticed to him was eager to learn and wanted to gain the needed skills and knowledge. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever done any blacksmithing. It's more than just forging metals. There's other things, offshoots you can do, like a furrier and the person, is that the person who does the horseshoes? Okay, I got it right. I was thinking of another word, but anyway, thank you, Lord. He wanted to do all these things. Then one day this farmer came up to him, presented him with a bull that had a special problem with one of his hooves. He'd been off in the back pasture for a while, and he got in his hoof had got grown and festered, and it had become a bloody mess. And the apprentice was alone in the shop that day. But he was wise enough to know that this kind of problem needed a special hand. So he called the old smith, who immediately came and saw the problem. The old smith hesitated for just a moment. He wanted the young man to fix this problem as part of his learning. So the apprentice knew this and said, "If you will show me what to do, I believe I can solve this problem and help this animal." And the old man replied, "Of course, I will show you." So the apprentice did as he was told, and within an hour, the bull was set to go back to the farm. The farmer was happy with the work. The apprentice had learned a new skill set, and the old smith was satisfied with the outcome. Now, before we get into today's text, we got to have a little bit of background. The reason I tell you about this smith, this apprentice, was one of the things he said to the older smith is, "If you will show me." How many people have come up to you in your life and said something to the similar effect? "If you will show me, if you will teach me, if you will give me your knowledge, then I will be able to do this." I remember my dad, now he wasn't a professional carpenter, but he was a carpenter nonetheless. And he taught me how to measure twice and cut once, how to toenail an upright 2x4 to make a building frame. He told me how to work joists and use squares. He taught me all these things. And I would never have known it. And for a long time, I didn't use it. But for the time that I needed it, it was there. And I was able to use what he taught me because he was willing to do something good for me. Now, let's put that on hold for just a second. And let's get into the text. We got to have a little background. And Mark 1 tells us a few things. In fact, it tells us that Jesus had returned from the wilderness. You remember last week when we talked about him being in the wilderness and tempted by Satan, and then he went about preaching the gospel, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Well, he returned from that wilderness and was preaching this gospel throughout Galilee. That's Mark 1:39. He had an area of Galilee that he had been raised in. Nazareth was inside the area of Galilee a little bit, not right in the middle, but close to it. And his reputation had preceded him and had spread among the people. In fact, it had become so prevalent that the disciples told him that all men were seeking him. Let me read you that. Mark, excuse me one second. My Bible holder had jumped out of its place. It does that sometimes. All right, Mark 1, 36 through 37, it says, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee." Another version says, "All men seek after thee." You see, Jesus' reputation had preceded him. And it had become so prevalent that all men that the disciples knew, of course it was a euphemism, not every man, Herod was not seeking after him at that time. He did earlier, obviously. But he was seeking after him. And many were coming to him with various diseases in order to be healed. And this is where the story picks up. Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. If you will, Jesus, you can heal me, you can cleanse me, you can make me clean. Verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So not only did Jesus was sought after by many men, but there were people that were sick that come unto him. Now we need to dive into the first verse, verse 40, to kind of get a seat under this. Boy, I'm starting to speak in King James English. Listen to that. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. We've already read that. But notice what he did here. He came to Jesus knowing that Jesus could do what he asked. But the question was not could he do it, but would he do it? And brothers and sisters, I found myself on many occasions saying virtually the same thing. Lord, if you would just be willing. Lord, if you would. I know God can do all things. I firmly believe that He does all things to glorify Himself. Good things that happen. And even when bad things happen to us, He's still with us. And He hears our prayers. But sometimes we go to Him with a request and we go to Him, if you will. And it's very difficult for us when we ask that, because we know what we want, but we may not understand what God's plan is. So when we pray, if thou wilt, and he doesn't at that moment, then what do we do? Do we doubt God? Do we say, you didn't want to help me, Lord? Why do we do that? We get confused. And when we get confused, it's a bad place to be in our spiritual life. But I'm here to tell you that if we approach the Lord the way that the leper approached the Lord, we would often not have that doubt, if he would. So when we come to Jesus with our problems, do we come beseeching him in humility? Now, what does that mean, beseeching him? Well, I can tell you the best way it means by telling you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean come to the Lord demanding that he do something for you. Lord, if you're God, you do this for me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Seems like I've heard that somewhere before. Do we demand of God? We shouldn't. We should beseech him. We should beg him. We should ask him in humility. And notice what the leper did. He was kneeling in prostrate. It said kneeling down to him. He was prostrate before him. Or do we come in that arrogant attitude, standing up with our fist raised, going, God, if you're really God, do this for me. Brothers and sisters, I can tell by your faces, some of y'all have done that in the past. And when I say that, I have a mirror straight in front of mine. Because, God forgive me, I've done that. Look at me, Lord. I'm a pastor. I do all this. I'm good. I pray every day. I pray for people. Why don't you do this for me? You did it for other people. Do y'all know how bad that makes you look in the eyes of other people, much less God? When we understand that we are never deserving of the grace of God, then we can understand why that grace and mercy is so wonderful. Because even though we don't deserve it, we receive it by faith. And it's a miracle to do that. So do we ask, as the leper did, if thou wilt? Do we doubt God's goodness? Or is it that we simply question our own motives for our own request? Why am I asking this? Am I asking this to gain some sort of position over somebody else? Am I asking this out of fear about what might happen in a certain set of circumstances? Am I asking in arrogance, or am I asking in humility? If thou will, Lord, if you would, Lord, if you will, Lord, would you please? Brothers and sisters, most of our prayers, if we will simplify them and take all the flowery language out, really comes down to those questions. If you will. Now, why did the leper ask this? Now, we got to understand about leprosy in that day. Due to its treatment in the book of Leviticus, leprosy was something to be avoided at all costs. You did not see the leper going to the high priest. You did not see the leper going to the Pharisees. They wouldn't have got anywhere near him. They wouldn't have been in the same room with the man. These religious folks who kept the law, I won't take that away from him, but they didn't keep the spirit of the law. They only kept the letter of the law. And when you keep the letter of the law, sometimes you can get in a lot of trouble. Your wife's having a baby and you're doing 65 and a 55 trying to get to the hospital and the cop stops you and gives you a ticket. Yeah, it's keeping the letter of law, but it's not keeping the spirit of the law. We need to understand that leprosy was something vile to those people. First of all, it is incurable in that time. Now today you can take some antibiotics, they have a lot of different names for it. And remember, leprosy is not just, and I was telling Christine, it's not less your skin turning color and your arm dropping off, okay? What leprosy does, for those that don't know, is it kills the nerve endings in your body. You cannot feel anything. Therefore, when you get a scratch or an infection or an incision or something like that, then it festers in wounds and you don't know it because you can't feel it. You know, there is a reason God gave us pain, physical pain, to warn us of something that may be happening to our bodies. So it's incurable. Second of all, it is spread through uncleanness. When the leper got in, he had all them dirty, filthy rags wrapped around it because they didn't have any other thing. They didn't understand about microbes and germs and infections and things like that. So they had these filthy things all over them, and it would spread all over their bodies, whatever infection they had that they couldn't feel. So it was spread through uncleanness. And here's another thing. It renders a man or woman unfit to serve either God or humanity. That is the Mosaic law. A leper could not be in the congregation. A leper could not come into the tabernacle. A leper was to be ostracized. And anyone ceremonially clean could not touch a leper. Now, in this state of a person, a man can only beg for divine intervention in healing. And that's what this leper did. He recognized something in Jesus that was more powerful than the law of Moses. Now, the law of Moses does give, and we'll get into it a little bit, procedures for the healing of lepers. It's Leviticus chapter 14 if you want to look it up. There's certain procedures that you do. And it has to do with sacrifices and shaving and changing clothes and washing and doing all this stuff. There's one instance in there about you washing seven times and then shaving all the hair off your body. It's interesting. Remember what Naaman had to do? The Syrian general that had the leprosy. Remember he was told to wash in the Jordan seven times? That number of seven has symbolic significance. But that's another sermon for another time. The Mosaic laws covered the procedure for cleansing oneself of ceremonial leprosy, but the actual leprosy, no. And here's where Jesus is different. Verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Jesus did what none of the religious people, none of the Pharisees, none of the scribes, none of the Sadducees, none of the Essenes, none of them would do for this man. They would not be near him, and yet Jesus touched him. And not only did Jesus touch him, he said, I will. If thou wilt, I will. Be thou clean. You see, Jesus sees us for the leprous sinners we are. There's not one of us in here of our own righteousness deserves anything but the wrath of God. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but that is the biblical truth. Yet, Jesus not only touched that leper, he touches every one of us who has faith in the Son of God. We all know the ability of the Son of God to save us. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. We have eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are His, we are in His body, and He is coming again. And we will meet Him in the air, those that are living and those that are dead in Christ. We all know that. But sometimes we feel that we are so filthy. We are so leprous. We are so dirty and nasty that no one would ever forgive us or ever heal us. And we see that. Why? Because we see how people react to each other. Someone did something to us. I will never forgive that person. Someone said something to us. How dare they say that to me? Look what I've done for them. They say all these things. And we're not forgiven by that person. But you know what? The Heavenly Father says, I will. And He sent Jesus Christ the Son, who said, I will. Be thou clean. And I thank God every day that He touches my life and that He touches others' lives so that they can be clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. The Lord acted with compassion. He loved this leper. He loved him. He had compassion on him. Do you remember when He told the parable of the Good Samaritan, how these other people, when the man was laying there and he was cut and bruised and probably dying, and the Pharisee passed him, and then the Levitical priest passed him, and all this stuff, and they wouldn't have anything to do with him. They crossed on the side of the road. Yes, that's the way man reacts. But God does not react that way. God said, I will. And Jesus touched him. You see, contact, as I said, with lepers was forbidden under the law. But Jesus often touches the lowly, the sinners, in order to heal them. And not only heal them, but to raise them up in dignity and love and compassion. Jesus is not a sledgehammer that we, in our righteous indignation, hammer other people's with. Yes, there are times to stand up for the truth. Yes, there are times to stand up when you have to make sure the truth is known. But in doing that, we are to show the love of Christ for others. You know, most of the time, when I've come in contact with people that don't want to be in church, it's because someone in the church has hurt them at some point. They have said something ugly to them. They made them feel small. They have made them feel like they're not welcome. You know, when I hear that, I think of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple, where one was boasting of his goodness and the other said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says, or asks the question, which one of you think went home right with God? You see, brothers and sisters, we cannot use God's holiness to beat the ever-living daylights out of somebody who's going through something. Yes, there are people who are jerks. There are people who want get a burr under your saddle and makes you want to call down fire of heaven on them. But we don't. Because someone would have called that down on us if it was possible. And in doing so, we can see the mercy of God because it hasn't happened. And if we see the mercy of God, we experience the mercy of God. And if we experience the mercy of God, we share the mercy of God. Jesus exercised His authority over sickness, death, and nature when He said, "Be thou clean." He spoke His will for this man and he was cleaned. When you come to Jesus in repentance and faith and you ask forgiveness, He says, "Be thou clean." You are forgiven. And the righteousness of God dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus, when he said, "Be thou clean," to us, he removed the sin from us and he placed it on the cross. And the payment for that sin was made on that cross. There's a reason this church and other churches are called Calvary. Because we look up at the cross to see the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that is offered to all men. Doesn't mean all men's going to accept it. But it does mean it's offered to all men. And when the Holy Spirit opens that up to you, and you choose to accept that love of God, that forgiveness, that gift of eternal life, then you can begin to understand His statement, "I will." The leper had indeed shown doubt in Jesus' willingness, but not His ability or His power. Thus, Jesus used His power to show His will. He wills healing and cleansing to all who come to Him in repentance and faith. Now, I got to be careful right here, because there are certain preachers that will tell you, if you come to Jesus, He's going to heal you of every disease you ever had. Your stubbed toe, your pancreatitis, your mole on the back of your neck, whatever it may be. He's going to heal that from you. And we know that is not the case. Jesus does heal diseases. But it's up to His will which diseases He heals. We cannot force God to do something. That's tempting the Lord your God. Again, how many saints have died in a disease, but I would argue Jesus did heal them. Jesus healed them with the ultimate healing where there will never be any more pain, never be any more tears, never be any more anything. But yet there are times when He shows His healing authority here on earth. And when He does, praise the Lord. Thank God for that. But I can tell you that I believe that there are saints in heaven right now that were going through the same thing and praying the same prayers, and yet God chose to bring them home. And I don't think any one of them would want to come back to this sin-ridden world. And we ought to praise God when a saint gets to go be with God. We ought to celebrate. We ought to celebrate. Yes, the death of someone we care about, and there I know there's been a lot of death in this congregation in the last little while. I know that. But I think everyone that has passed from death unto life. This death we have here because all men have sinned and all men have fallen short of the glory of God. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are healed. And when we take our last breath here, we take our first breath there. Hallelujah. And when we do that, we have cause to celebrate. Doesn't mean we want to go stand in the middle of the interstate in front of a Mack truck. Don't misquote me. But it does mean that we live our lives until the time that God decides to call us. And when He does, we go in with a great big grin on our face. As my grandma used to say, a big old possum grin on our face. You ever seen a possum grin? They got all them teeth bare and got them beady little black eyes. It looks like kind of a weird cross between a squirrel and a panda. They got that white fur on their face, right? And they're grinning ear to ear. Now, there's another name that I can't use in church about that grin, but we won't go there. But brothers and sisters, we are to celebrate when one of our people get to be with God. In fact, if you ever read the old Salvation Army magazine they used to have, they always had this section in the back. Now, you know, William Booth set up the Salvation Army, and they have ranks in there like captain and major and colonel and all that stuff. Well, when you die, the way they say it is promoted to glory. And I love that term. When you struggle in this life, you are promoted to glory. In fact, that's one of the things, you know, that I hope is brought out in Brother Larry's funeral. How he served God with everything he was. And in that last moment, he was promoted from an earthly ministry to a heavenly glory that even he and all his service could never imagine fully. And Lord knows, in some small way, many of us could be envious because now his faith is made sight. And we long for the day when our faith is made sight. We just don't want to go just yet because God still has a purpose for us. I joke with Christine sometimes, I want to stay around as long until I can see my grandbabies. After that, then you're on your own, kid. After that, I won't fuss if God decided to call me. But until then, we got some room for argument. But you see, all that is to say that when Jesus exercises his authority, it's not because he can't do it. The question is, just like the leper, is he willing? And I am here to tell you that he is willing. He is not only willing, but he is able. We used to have expression, I'm ready, willing, and able. Well, that's what Jesus is every moment of every day. Why? Because verse 42 tells us, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. When Jesus speaks, things happen. And when he speaks from heaven, things happen right now, right here on this earth. How do we move Jesus to action? Well, we don't. We ask. We ask if he wills. And I believe with all my heart. Now, it may not be the action we expect because we think with finite minds. We don't see the future. He sees the future. And sometimes the answers are not what we're expecting. And sometimes we get a little upset about it. And that's understandable. But when our faith and our trust is in him, whatever may happen, we understand that God is with us during the process. Now, that's never more poignant or I don't want to use the word hurtful, but it doesn't hurt as much when we have to face the consequences of our actions. Sometimes we make foolish decisions. Sometimes we make stupid choices. And you know, God allows us to go through the consequences of those to show to us that his way is better, but at the same time, he is walking with us to help us get through that moment. And Lord knows, there's been a lot of stupid things I've done. And I could go all the way back. In fact, I have this one that the devil constantly reminds me of. When I was like 17 and I was a senior in high school, and my grandma always depended on me to take her to the grocery store. And she was about 80. She only had one eye. She had slipped down and hit her head on a shift robe cabinet. How many of y'all know what a shift robe is? Some of you do, all right. At the corner, and they put her eye out. Now, this was back in the 50s, and so she was my one-eyed granny, and she had one of these old glass eyes, and every now and then she'd take it out and scare us with. I had one grandma that would chase us with false teeth, and the other grandma would chase us with a glass eye, and y'all wonder why I am the way I am. But anyway, she came to me, and she said, I ain't going to tell you what she called me, because I had a nickname that I'm not going to repeat. But anyway, she said, would you take me to the grocery store? And I just had a fight with my parents, and I said, Grandma, I don't want to go today. And she just said, okay, dropped her head and walked back home. And the devil still, and I took her many times after that. But it still comes to my mind. The devil still reminds me of that. Even though I've been forgiven, even my grandma forgave me, it still reminds me of a stupid thing that I did as a kid. But you see, we don't have to live under that. When Jesus speaks, we are healed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. The leprosy immediately left the man. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the consequences of your sin immediately are taken care of. Immediately. Are you still going to sin? Yeah. Yeah. Are you still going to face the consequences of the sins that you commit after you're forgiven by God? Yeah. Is sin the driving force behind you now? No. And that's why after you come to faith, when you do realize that you've sinned, it hurts so bad because you know the price it cost to be forgiven. You are forgiven. 1 John tells us that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. When you are in Christ, you're forgiven, past, present, and future. That's not license. Doesn't mean, well, God's going to forgive me, so I'm going to go out and live like a hellion. No. That's not what that means. When you are truly born again, you no longer want to do that. But when it does happen, you are crushed in the Spirit because you know what it cost. But yet Jesus still heals. Jesus' actions have sudden and immediate impact when accepted in faith. We are saved instantaneously. We are adopted immediately into the family of God. We are now a child of the living God when we come to Him in faith. And when we are physically healed of something. You know, there's one moment, and we can't even describe the moment. There's one moment when we have the disease, and then there's the next moment when it's not there anymore. It doesn't happen always, but sometimes when a cancer goes into remission, there is one moment when that last cancer cell is there, and then there's the next moment when it's no longer there. When I had pneumonia a few years back, there was one minute when I had pneumonia, and then there was the next minute when it was no longer there. And that's what happened when Christ takes your sins, when He says you are forgiven. The moment before He says that, you are have sin-filled. But the moment He says that, your sin is no longer there in His eyes. That's a miracle, brothers and sisters. Now, the consequences of your sin may still be there. You know, you do something stupid, there's consequences. I've used the expression over and over about you get drunk, you go drive a car, you wreck the car, you can be forgiven for wrecking the car, but you're walking for a while. That's the truth. But even in the consequence phase, God will be with you. And He will help you through that time. You see, the same itself can be said for sin. One minute it is our master. When Jesus enters the scene, He wills and we are forgiven. Forever. The sin is no longer our master, for we are bought with a price. And as I said, we still sin, but it's no longer our master. When it occurs, it is abhorrent to us. Think about that word, abhorrent. That means more than just hatred. It is an abomination to us when we realize it. We don't want nothing to do with it. If we realize we do it, we try to ask forgiveness. We say our sorry. We go to God and we pray and we ask for forgiveness from Him. And then if we hurt someone, we try to ask. Now, 9 times out of 10, at the beginning, they won't say, it's okay. But you see, if we are the one who was hurt, it is our responsibility to forgive and move on. Doesn't mean we're going to go eat potato salad with the person. But it does mean we forgive them in the eyes of God. Is it hard to do? On a human scale, yeah. We want to see justice. We want to see righteous indignation. We want to say, that person hurt me, so they deserve to hurt in the same way. Guys, that's the best expression I can say for that is, that is the farthest thing from Scripture as you can find. God deals with things in His time. We run from sin. We beg forgiveness. We are covered and cleansed by the effectual blood of Jesus Christ. And we should offer the same mercy to others. Now verse 43 says, and He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see, you say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now even though Jesus charged this man to say nothing, I believe that Christ upheld the requirements of the law. He told him to go and show the offering from Moses. Now let me read you that offering. Leviticus 14, 1 through 9, it says this. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of his camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. That's what I was talking about earlier. And shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry about abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows. Even all the hair he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also be shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And all I've got to say to that is, huh? You see, he was to go and give the offering that Moses commanded. Now, when you get into the thing about the bird and the living bird and the bird over the running water, those are symbols of what Christ did for us. We were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, symbolically and effectually. And we are forgiven. And we get to go free after we are forgiven, after we are put in the blood of Christ. You see, one bird was killed, the blood was spread over the running water, which is a symbol of the living water, and the other bird was dipped in the blood and then let free. That is a symbol of what happens to us in Christ. One of these days, we're going to, especially at night, we're going to study the book of Leviticus, and we're going to get into all that kind of stuff. And all of that stuff is important because it foreshadows what Christ did for us. But anyway, he was told. So Jesus fulfilled the law. Remember, he said he did not come to destroy the law, but fulfill it? Well, he fulfilled the law of Moses. And you know, talking about not saying anything, I do not believe God is angered when we celebrate abroad what he has done for us. A grateful spirit is pleasing to the Lord. And this leper was grateful. This rabbi, this miracle worker, this kind man touched me, the leper said. And I was cleansed. And I'm going to go do what he said. I'm going to offer the offering, but I'm going to go and I'm going to tell everybody just how what special person this was. Because notice it said, now of course this is King James English, but it says in verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. That is a euphemism that is spread like wildfire. This man touched me. This man made me whole. This man forgave me. This leper didn't say that, but remember when he said, whether it is easier to tell this man, your sins be forgiven thee, or to rise up, take your pallet and walk, which one is better? So for you, I say, take up your pallet and walk. He said his sins are forgiven. Jesus forgives as well as heals. And when he does that, people should feel the urge to let everybody know what Christ has done for them. Now, I do know. Well, if I say something in front of my cousin, he's going to make fun of me. He doesn't believe in all that Jesus stuff, so if I say anything in front of him, get a spine. Well, my coworkers, if I say something to them, I may get fired. Well, you might, but you also may drop a wrench in the wrong spot and get fired for that too. Brothers and sisters, when God does something wonderful to us, tell others. Share it. Doesn't mean you have to know every verse of every Bible thing and all the programs, the ABCs and the evangelism explosion, all that stuff helps for Bible knowledge, but it's not simply telling what God has done for you. And that's all you got to do. And people will listen. People will listen. Every person of faith in Jesus Christ should desire to tell others what Christ has done for them. That's like beating a dead horse. You should know that by now. Number two, the Bible tells us that we can exclaim such thing as, the Lord has done great things for me, whereof I am glad. The Lord has blessed me. I am so bloody happy. I feel wonderful because God has done great things for me. Another time in the Psalms it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Why? Because he says, I will. Because he says, I will. The effect of this is that Christ will be glorified. Yes, there's always going to be naysayers and blasphemers who accuse the grateful person or a fraud, or you don't know what you're talking about, or you're stupid, or you're sanctimonious, or you're self-arrogant or self-righteous. There's always going to be people who say that. But there will be others. There will be others that are struggling, that know God, but they need edification. They need strengthening. When they hear you praise God, they will come to God themselves and ask, if you will. And we should be grateful of that. Notice the effect that the praise from this leper had. Jesus could not even go into the city. He had to hang out in the countryside. He had to hang out outside because people from all over, from every quarter, the Bible says, see Him, hear Him, and cry unto Him in order for Him to touch their lives. Imagine all that from the praise of a leper. I can imagine somebody, the leper coming. Now, the leper's already healed, okay? And he's probably changed his clothes because he had to do the sacrifice. He's coming. Man, I had left. Healed him because he was willing. Because he was willing. There's a big difference. You are approaching the throne of grace. You are a throne of God in the face of God saying, you better do this for me. No, brothers and sisters, let that not even be named among us. Let us go with humility, beseeching that the Lord knelt before Him because He is the Son of God, or do we demand the answer us? That is in what He has done. And we come to Him in reverence and holy fear. As I believe many times, God will not answer a prayer when we say something like, Lord, would you let a great big rock fall on this brother's head to teach him a lesson? No, that's not going to happen. Okay? It may be me the right way. Bless this person with your knowledge and wisdom. Forgive us of our sin and help us to find a right way. That is in humility. Not those exact words, but that can teach you humility. So we believe that He will do it. And if He wills, He will. And then once our prayers are answered, do we proclaim His goodness to all those around us? I've heard many of you tell me what good things God has done for you in your life. Some of you have gone way back and told me, God be praised for such things. But what has He done for you lately? Because everyone is in here that are living and breathing and halfway healthy, God has preserved us through many trying times. And we can say, if nothing else, God has been with me. And isn't that enough to praise Him for? Isn't that enough to say, Lord, thank you? Hey, brother so-and-so. Hey, sister Sonia. I just want to tell you, I've been through a bunch of garbage this week, but God has been with me and I just praise Him. They might think we're nuts, but that's okay. Because I'd rather be a nut for Jesus than whatever else you can think of. My mind just went boing when I tried to think of a word. Some of y'all laugh, but some of you have been through it too, so. Yeah, okay. So do we honor and glorify God for His mercy and compassion? We should. Thus the example of the leper is still relevant. His faith in Jesus and His ability was stronger than his doubt in Jesus' willingness. After all, what decent rabbi would have anything to do with a filthy leper? Well, Jesus did. Jesus was willing. And He's still willing today. He's still willing to meet you right where you are. Right where you stand, He is willing to meet you and to love you and to say, I will be thou cleansed. I will be thou blessed. I will. I love you. I forgive you. And I want for you the joys of heaven. So the things we need to learn are five things. First, Jesus is willing to touch you, to heal you, and forgive you. He is always willing when you come to Him in repentance and faith. And let us not forget that He said that He will in no likewise cast no one out that the Father sends to Him. And if the Father through the Holy Spirit is sending you to Him, get up and go, for crying out loud. Don't wait. We all know from just things this week that have happened, we are not promised tomorrow. We have plans. Oh, we're going to do this in 2022. We're going to make it. We're going to see. You don't know if you're going to take a breath 5 seconds from now. But yet you may. And if you may, use that time to respond to the Savior who says He is willing. Second, Jesus is willing to overcome your doubt and worry so that you will see His compassion from you. When He said, "I will be that clean," imagine what that leper thought at that moment. We don't know what he said other than to go out and tell everything that Jesus had done for him. We don't know if he said, "Praise you, Lord, praise you, Jesus." We don't know. If he said, "Praise you, Jesus," I'm sure Jesus took. Remember when Thomas said, "My Lord, my God," Jesus didn't say, "Don't say that." No, he accepted the praise. So when people praised him, he accepted it. He's willing to overcome your doubt. He's willing to overcome your worry. And how many of us can honestly say that that is one of the primary things that drives a wedge between us and God, is our worry and our anxiety? I can say that. I'm a worrier. I worry about all kinds of things. I'm anxious about all kinds of things. But at the same time, God gives me peace in the moments that I need Him the most. Jesus is willing to remove the disease of sin from you and make you presentable to the Father by the cleansing power of His blood. You just can't come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, how you doing? You heal me fine," and then go about your merry way. No, 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 no. You come to Christ and He touches you. You are changed forever. Your DNA is changed. You are no longer what you were. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, by faith. It is by grace, through faith, that you have been saved. And this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's one of those verses you should have emblazoned in your memory. Why? Because that's the method that God chose for us to exercise our faith, and Him to exercise His salvation. He overcomes the disease of sin, and you are made whole. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, those old hymns preached. They told us the truth. And we need not forget them. And Jesus is also willing for you to share what He has done for you to all who will hear. There are those that need a touch from Him, and God may appoint you to be the touch, to be the tool that He touches them with by the hope and the strength that you give them by your testimony of what God has done for you. Never shy away from that opportunity. And lastly, as I said, as Jesus said, Jesus is willing to meet you right here, right now, just the way you are. But He will not leave you the way you are. The leper was cleansed. The sinner was forgiven. God forgives you, heals you. You do not come to Christ in faith and you not depart a changed person. You can come right up and you can reject Him and you can walk away. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you, by faith, repent and believe the gospel. You are healed of your sin. And the other stuff we can work on. But isn't that the most important thing? Because you can be healed of cancer, you can be healed of leprosy, you can be healed of a myriad of diseases, but unless you have healed the sin, what does that do for you? You still wind up in the same place, separated from God for eternity. But if you are healed by the one who says, "I will be thou clean," then you are really healed for all eternity. So the question is not, "If thou will," for Jesus. He's already answered that question. "I will be thou clean." The question that I want to leave us with is, are you willing? Are you? Are you willing to come to Jesus and ask Him to be cleansed? Not only from some skin disease or some other disease, but from the disease of sin. Well, brothers and sisters, we all have one of our favorite sins that we do everything we can. We'll say the right thing. We'll cry before God. We'll pray unceasingly. But there's this one thing that we want to hold on to for whatever reason. Brothers and sisters, if you are healed, you're healed of even that desire. And when you can turn your life over to Jesus Christ, where He will touch you and you will be cleansed, then you can say, "I am clean." Not because of what I did, but because He was willing. He is willing. Are you? Praise team. Can you answer that question? Are you willing? Can you go before the throne of grace and with a straight face and a straight heart ask the Lord to touch you, to heal you? Well, brothers and sisters, I've counseled and I'm myself guilty of this. I go before God and I ask the Lord to take care of a situation. But then 5 minutes after I ask that, I go and try to do something on my own. Well, He gave me the wisdom to do that. Not necessarily. Sometimes we got to just shut up and listen. Sometimes we have to be still and know that He is Lord. And then sometimes we must act when He gives us godly wisdom in a situation. But in doing all of that, we say to Him, as the leper said, "If thou willst." Or in modern English, "Are you willing, Lord?" And He responds, "Today, as He did then, I am, I will, be thou clean."